Thanks for listening to Learning More. It is Russ with you. It's so weird to say Learning More because I've been working on this other podcast. I've talked to you guys about it a bit. We've got the business podcast. We're just about to hit our 100th recording, which is really exciting. If you've never checked it out, go check it out. DIY for Business. You can just go to DIYforBusiness.com or whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Be sure to go check that out. How's that for starting out with a commercial? That's probably not the best thing to do. Thanks for listening. Don't worry. I don't do that all the time. If you're a new listener, if you are a new listener, though, please do hit that subscribe button and come back because I get to talk about so many different cool things on this podcast. For those of you that are new listeners, you know what? This was a mission for me that I started a long time ago. It was a New Year's resolution where each week I wanted to learn something new, and I'm doing it. And now I get to share it with you as well. This one today, the topic, imposter syndrome. This is something that I have wanted to actually learn more about since the beginning of the show. One of my first episodes, I wanted to be about this. And I talked with somebody, they're like, yes, I'm going to be there. And then, you know, it didn't work out. And then it keeps coming up where I just really wanted to talk about this because, you know, the phenomena of imposter syndrome is, it's really everywhere. It's very common. And the thing is, like, I've experienced so many times in my career, in even doing this podcast, imposter syndrome. It's tough. So regardless of your background, regardless of your experience, it happens. And today I want to learn more about it. And for those of you that don't know it, basically, if you've ever felt like a fraud despite your achievements, like that's it right there. And, you know, I really want to dig in and I really want to, you know, help people that are experiencing this because it's something that once you get through, it's like, oh, wow, this is really cool. Like, I can actually do this. Like, you feel this sense of accomplishment, even though, like, I don't know, it's almost like a bigger accomplishment. It's weird. I did this when I was doing, like, I did radio sales. I was like, I don't know if I could just go out and talk to people and do radio sales. Well, I did it. And I just had so many doubts up front, but I just jumped in, I did it, and it worked out. And I did pretty darn good over in radio sales land. I was like a Herb Tarlick, for those of you back in the 70s watching WKRP. That was me for a little bit. Always wanted to be Dr. Johnny Fever, but unfortunately had to be Herb Tarlick for a little bit. Anyway, I'm getting off this topic here of imposter syndrome. I have a guest that's been listening to this whole little spiel that I've been doing here. Michelle Molitor, thank you for joining me today to talk imposter syndrome.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Russ. I'm thrilled to be here and talk with you about imposter syndrome and the many challenges that it can present and the ways to help you move beyond it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So let's first, I gave sort of a little definition of it, but what is imposter syndrome?
Well, imposter syndrome is that pervasive anxiety, that pit in your stomach. This is, who am I? Who am I to talk about this topic? Who am I to stand up in front of these people and be the authority? Despite your years of expertise, despite the accolades that you've got, despite the letters after your name, and it creates self-doubt that can eat away at you and have you kind of start to shrink back, not to share your voice fully and own who you are fully.
So when is this likely? Now I mentioned, you know, in starting a job, this whole going for the radio sales thing, I really felt it. There's been other times in my life that I felt it. When do people like, what are the common like triggers of imposter syndrome?
Common triggers of imposter syndrome are, being called to step up in a new way, stepping outside of your comfort zone, maybe being asked to lead a new project or give a talk, for example. It can create anxiety. It can create fear. It can diminish your confidence and really play head games with you and have you start tripping over yourself.
I feel like it also sort of goes hand in hand with like perfectionism a little bit, you know, like I did a show on perfectionism. And as I was going through that show, I'm just thinking like, oh, this sort of reminds me of imposter syndrome, where it's like it's this weird thing inside of you where you don't feel like you're OK with making a mistake. You know, like, can I actually make a mistake here? Like, what if I screw up? Like the biggest, I guess, example is, you know, so I did theater in high school, right? And I did improv. And improv is scary because you're going
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, more power to you, man.
Yeah, like, it's what? Like no script. Like, what am I doing? And I thought, well, you know what? I did improv. So, well, maybe I should try stand-up comedy. So I actually wrote a routine, and I had a friend that kept saying, no, go out and do it, go out and do it, go out and do it. And I wouldn't do it because I just didn't feel like there was some massive anxiety about it. And I felt like every joke had to be perfect. And I kept redoing and redoing and redoing. And what I realized eventually was there was nothing on this that was going to be perfect because it was my first time. You know, I'm just
there's
getting
no
out there
such
and
thing
doing
as
it.
Perfection, Russ.
Exactly.
We're all perfectly imperfect. And if you can remember that as you step into any new endeavor, it will help you immensely in getting past the quiver that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and so yeah, I did it and I felt so much better afterwards. I don't think I want to do it again. I experienced it. I enjoyed it while I was actually doing it. I had a 5-minute routine worked out and I had like an extra minute just in case. I went through all 6 minutes in like 3 minutes and had 2 minutes to kill at the end. I was like, okay, well, what do I do? That's when fortunately the improv skills kicked in a little bit, but you know, it's like something where, you know, I don't want to do that again. But it did make me feel like, you know, a little more comfortable with other situations. So the question, I guess, there is if so I went through it there and I felt like, okay, I conquered it. Is that going to help me in future? Like, does like dealing with it and coping with it and trying different things, like, does it make it easier later when you're doing other things? Like, so later I jump on and I do a podcast. I didn't really feel the pressure as much. So like, is it always going to be there? Is it always going to be the same? Or can it actually get better in the coping mechanisms you learn with one thing? Can that help out with later instances of imposter syndrome for a person?
Yes, right. So your brain likes repetition, Russ. So the more you think a thought, the more you practice something, right? Practice makes progress. And so just like, you know, with all the greats, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, they kept doing until they built that habit, that neural pathway of this is how I do this. This is how I do this. And you become more and more comfortable. So the wobble, the butterflies don't kick in as much. And it may still continue, but you can find that center point more quickly. You could reset. So I'm regularly on podcast interviews. I am a speaker. I'm an author. I'm a coach. I'm a hypnotherapist, right? I love talking about this stuff, but every time I go to give a talk, I still get that little, get a little pity, a little squirmy. But then as soon as you find your groove, it's like, oh, right. I know how to do this.
Right.
So it's just about telling your brain, like, we got this. We know how to do this. Right. And then you just rinse, repeat. I've got this. And also giving yourself grace on, and there are no points off for spelling, right? we might trip, we might stumble over our tongue trying to pronunciate something correctly, right? You never know.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too, like, and just being okay to laugh at yourself, like that was something that improv really taught me, actually, was, you know, just being okay, you know, with the mistakes. The mistakes are just like, can be, the mistakes in improv scenes are the funniest things sometimes. Like when you
exactly.
screw up,
exactly.
That's hilarious, right? Like you get these little breaks. So, okay, you get the imposter syndrome feeling, but like you've written books. Like when you're setting up to write these books, are you also feeling that same thing?
Yes, it's hilarious. We talked a little bit about this before the start of the show. I created a whole course around imposter syndrome called How to Become Unshakable. And I sat down to write it and I outlined it. I'm like, okay. And then it was like time to really start fleshing out and recording the content. And I was a deer in the headlights, like, oh, oh, oh. And then I had to laugh at myself, like, oh, okay. And so in these moments, ask for help, find a colleague, an expert, someone that can help reset your thinking, get you back on track, or give you a different outside perspective that is going to enable you to like, oh, right, I got this. And then I sit down and I start writing again. So having those people in your wheelhouse that you can lean into is super, mm-hmm. super important to remind you, to be a reflection for you of, you've got this, Russ. You know what you're doing. I'm just here to help you see the thing that's on the end of your nose that maybe you forgot that was there.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's so important in so many different ways to have like those mentors that you're going to talk with, you know, and now we're sort of getting into the, like the business, you know, side of things and the career side of things. Like I've had mentors my whole career, like people that I worked with early on that I've got to like spend time with. And they're the ones that like I've gone to them for questions, right? Like, so this was when I was working in marketing and radio, and my marketing director, I've gone to her for questions, even, you know, even now, you know, I mean, I'm a marketing director at a company and, you know, like I come across something and it's funny. It's like her advice, you know, before was very like detailed. Oh, well, you know, like, here's what I did in this. Here's how I, and she would be, you know, like very like trying to teach me like based on some of her experiences and share that. And it's funny. It's like, now it's like, she's either sharing my experiences from the past or saying, oh, you can figure that out. You got this. You know what you're doing. And it's funny how it's grown from that. And I've totally, you know, appreciated it. But it's like, it's different advice. And it's, what it's done is it's really built like confidence in myself for what I'm doing of like, oh, well, you know what? I'm just going to call her and she's just going to say, I got the answer anyway. So I'm just going to do it. You know, where like it's less likely that I'm going to lean on her. So she's been a fantastic mentor my whole career. But it's giving me that like that confidence. Is it just about like gaining more confidence in yourself and the activities that you're doing?
It truly is. Now, I love how you put that. It's like, oh, she's just going to tell me I already know how to do this. So it's reminding yourself, right? If I was advising somebody else on what I needed to do in this moment, what would I tell them? And then follow your own advice, right? Also, trusting your gut intuition, because imposter syndrome, perfectionism, self-doubt, all of that comes from a place of a lack of confidence in yourself, a lack of trusting your gut. And I found from working with hundreds of people around this is that, oh, I have to prove myself to somebody else. Am I getting it right? Am I doing enough?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so when you can pull back to the 10,000 or the 30,000 foot view and go, well, if I was going to coach somebody else on how to do this, what would I tell them? And that just helps you create a perspective shift, right? To quiet the voice of Amy. Do you know who Amy is, Russ?
I don't. Who's Amy?
Amy is your amygdala. She's the little lizard lady that lives in your limbic brain. And she's your fight, flight, or freeze mechanism. Like, oh, I don't know, that might not be safe. You sure you want to do that? You sure you want to go stand up on stage and do this thing, right? You might die. A saber-toothed tiger might come out and eat you, right? And so that's that fear response that we're having. That's Amy talking to you. And sometimes you just need to tell Amy, thank you for sharing. We're safe and I'm not going to be eaten by anything right now. Mm-hmm. You know, that the fear might be triggered by a boss. It might be triggered by a colleague, a coworker, a spouse, right? A small mm-hmm. child can provoke fear in the hearts of men, right? it's noticing that fear response. And oftentimes that fear response is based on something that happened to you when you were a child. Consciously or unconsciously, you may or may not even remember it, but your body does. Because every time we experience something in our childhood and that fear response gets triggered, it's not safe, then your nervous system makes note of it. And then Amy, think of Amy as the guard, standing guard at the gate of your nervous system. And anytime anything ever scary or frightening or unsafe has happened to you, we take mental notes, right, in our nervous system. And Amy's like, okay, I got it. I won't let anything like that happen to you again. So anytime as an adult you come anywhere near an experience similar to that, Amy's like, oh, no, we're not going there. Remember you told me that was not safe, even though you were 5 when you decided that, right? Mm-hmm. Or 2 or 10, it doesn't matter. So overcoming imposter syndrome is about noticing that fear response that's happening in your nervous system and asking yourself, is there really anything for me to be afraid of here? Am I gonna die? Am I gonna, you know, what's the extreme that you're taking it to? And ask yourself, well, is that true? Is that really true? No, it's not. Okay, so if I believe that I was safe, how would I move forward instead?
Mm-hmm. You know, so a couple of weeks ago, I did a podcast to kind of talking about the internal and external voices that, you know, are maybe oftentimes giving you bad advice. Well, now I know I can name that internal, sometimes Amy, I guess. Sometimes the Amy's advice is good, though. But if you're advising clients and let's say, you know, somebody listening is like, just they're uncertain of when to listen to that internal voice. Or not. And I want to talk about the external too, but let's focus in on Amy. Like, when do we listen to Amy and when do we not? How do we know? Sure. Like, how do you help clients through that?
Absolutely. I was just having this conversation this morning with a client. He's he has a new job offer and is like, yes, I could take this. Like, that'll solve the financial fear that I have. But the whole rest of his body is like, nope. I'm like, well, you get to pause and notice, are you being driven by fear? And what's the fear conversation that you're having with yourself? And then what is it that your heart, your mind, your spirit actually wants? And the simple way to do that is to pause and breathe. And get quiet with yourself and ask yourself, what's needed now? And listen for that immediate answer that pops up, knowing that is often coming from your gut, right? It's your intuition. Now, do we often listen to our intuition? Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Right.
Right. So it's about stepping back and discerning. Is that voice coming from a place of fear, or is it coming from what my heart, my spirit actually wants for me in this moment? And then it's being brave enough to follow through on what your intuition is actually guiding you to do, because your intuition is always on target. It's always pointing you in the direction that you are intended to go, because everybody's path is different, right? Mm-hmm. And we get very programmed by society. Life is supposed to look this way. This is the conversation I was having with my client this morning, right? Does he continue down this path of working for the man and earning a really great paycheck, or does he follow his heart and his passion and his purpose and start his own company doing the thing that really lights him up, even though it's got risk and reward that's associated with it, right? So you have to balance those things. And I get it. People have bills to pay and families to feed, all that, right? And so you've got to find the mix that is right for you, because there's always a middle ground that you can find if you really are willing to look.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was just It's funny. I was in a very similar situation where, you know, I was running a side business and I was like, do I make this my actual business? And I was doing the radio sales thing at the time, actually. And so I'm, you know, selling radio and talking to people and doing all this stuff. And then I was actually had an entertainment company on the side where I was doing, like, you know, DJing, you know, parties. And then I hired some other people to go out and DJ for the for my company and doing all these different things. Like, this is great. Making a little extra money there. And then I realized, like, one day, I actually, I'll get into it a little bit more just because it's kind of an interesting story. So the person, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but the person that hired Howard Stern was actually the president of CBS when I was working and doing radio sales. He came into town and I was so excited to meet this guy just because, I mean, he hired Howard Stern. Come on. Like, this is really cool. And didn't like the guy at all. And I was just like, why am I doing this? Why am I working for, you know, this person that I don't like, that I'm not a fan of? And why am I going out and you know, like, hustling every day on this radio thing? If I was doing the same thing for my own business, like, I'd probably make more money. I'd probably be happier. And, you know, it took me like,
might even like your own boss.
Exactly. Exactly. At least for a little while.
I hear he's a nice guy.
But, you know, I went through, I debated on this thing and, you know, I sort of measured that risk reward of, like, should I do this? Should I not do this? Like, the reward could be great. I could run my own business. I could make my own hours. I could do all these cool things, or I could, you know, continue to do, like, this grunt work every day and driving all around the Bay Area and getting stuck in traffic and trying to convince people to, you know, purchase air, essentially. Like, do I want to continue to do that? And where do I see myself, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Like, do I actually want to turn into Herb Tarlick from WKRP? Probably not. So I sort of, but it took a lot. And I had a lot of people. And again, my mentor came in and chatted with me a bit about it. We set a deadline. This was in January of, I forget which year, 2000 or something like that. And I said, by Cinco de Mayo, I'm either going to have a celebration margarita or I'm going to cry in my margarita. That's my goal, where, you know, this business is either won or lost. I actually didn't think about it until like June or July. I was like, oh, shoot, I never had my celebration margarita. It's just been working. It's going. It's happening. And, you know, my company grew and we got all these, you know, kind of big company contracts and all that stuff. It was great. But I had the mentor to help me through that, to get me there, right? And somebody that could kind of work through these decisions with me. So I had a really great support system that helped me through that and making that big move. And it sounds like this person's got you to help you get through that. There's some people that maybe they don't have that support system. They don't have the friends, the family, the colleagues, the support system that, and they're probably, you know, they're still struggling with this and they don't have somebody to go to. What can they do for themselves, like, just on a daily basis? Like, what can they do today, for instance, to try to help them get through imposter syndrome?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I found that the underlying conversation you're having with yourself with imposter syndrome is some version of, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not something, something, something enough, right? So first and foremost, start with, I am enough. Write it on a sticky note, put it on your monitor, tape it on your mirror, write it on your hand, rinse, repeat. Because as I said earlier, your mind likes repetition. So the more you tell yourself a thought, the more true that thought becomes for you, good, bad, or ugly. So if you're telling yourself, I'm not enough, I'm not enough, I'm not, well, guess what? Then you see yourself as not enough and you see the world through that lens. So by changing your internal dialogue to I am enough, you start to pull back the fear blinders and see the world through a different set of eyes, and more opportunities, more people, more circumstances will come into view to help you along your path, right? And then, you know, wherever you are on your journey, finding the folks who can support you. It's one of the reasons why I created my How to Become Unshakable membership, right? People can come in, they can learn about where self-doubt and their self-doubt archetypes are bringing them down, keeping them stuck in fear. finding out what their own triggers are and how to move those triggers out of the way and release them out of your nervous system. And then get monthly coaching and support in a group atmosphere for as long as you want to help you put those goals, those strategies for happiness and success and peace of mind into place.
I think that's really great. I mean, it's fantastic that you're doing that because you do need others to help you through this. And I mentioned the external voices earlier. You know, as a business owner, I dealt with a lot of external forces, right? I'm thinking Yelp. You know, like every once in a while you get some, you know, person that's unhappy that, you know, maybe that they weren't even a client. I had a company I was advising. They parked their truck in front of somebody else's house. They got a bad Yelp review about their company. You know, like there's so many of these external voices coming at you, especially with social media, especially with like, you know, for business owners, like the review side of things. Like there's all of these external forces. Basically, so much of them are just saying, you know, you suck, you suck, you suck. How do you ignore those voices and actually put them into perspective so that they're not getting inside of you and you know, corrupting Amy, I guess?
Yes. No, that's a great question. And, you know, there's a lot of sad, angry people out in the world who've had challenging life circumstances that they have not been able to let go. And because of their life circumstances, whatever you're doing might just be triggering one of those buttons, right? That has Amy getting up in arms for them. And so having compassion for other people who are coming at you hard, right? For reasons unknown or reasons that really aren't necessarily logical, right? I had this happen to me recently with some issues here in my own backyard, literally and figuratively. And, you know, it took me when I got the very negative response from this person, my whole system got triggered and created that wobble. And I was like, got really angry. And I'm like, okay, let me just calm down. And it took me 48 hours to be able to write a very calm, a very compassionate response to this situation, which then this person came back at me again with more anger and this and that. I was like, really? Wow. Okay. And instead of firing back, I was like, you know, I'm just going to let dogs lie. It's not worth my time, my energy to come back in an antagonistic way. It just is a drain of my energy. So I'm just going to let it go and move on and know that I did the very best that I could to be as kind and compassionate in this particular situation. So finding the way through that is the least taxing on your energetic system and helping you to sleep with yourself at night, right? To know that you did the best thing that you knew how to do in a kind, compassionate way, and allows you to move forward with peace of mind.
Yeah, and that's also, you know, difficult. Like, I don't know. Like on the backside of things. Like, so you know, you go through, you do something. We'll just say, like, you know, stand-up comedy. We'll go with that example from earlier. You go through, and then afterwards, like, there's that question of, did I do okay? Did I do all right? Like. It, with your email, like, did you do it right? Did you do okay? So there's the self-doubt afterwards that you've got to deal with as well. So there's like the front end of imposter syndrome. Can I do this? And then, you know, the back end.
Did I get it right?
Did I get it right? So that's again, something that you've got to deal with. And what do you talk to your clients about that? Like, how do you work them through that?
And so just as I do for my clients, I'm like, I'm here. I'm always here for my clients in between sessions. So like they have my cell phone number. They can text me. They can call me, right? We'll have a short conversation. They can email me. And the example I gave, I emailed a friend of mine who's a lawyer. I'm like, did I do this okay? She's like, that was a beautifully written email. Well done.
Nice.
Right? I was like, mm-hmm. okay, whew. I didn't screw the pooch on that. I also talked to another lawyer before I wrote it just to understand like, where's my position? Was I right? Was I wrong? Okay. Understanding the different facets of it before responding versus that knee-jerk reaction. I remember right. years ago when I worked as a creative director in web development, I worked for a big company. And one of the other directors had done something that really pissed me off. And I fired off this flaming email to them. And then I showed it to my coworker afterwards. He's like, bad idea. I was like, uh-oh, right. So right. I learned the hard way, like pause, breathe, step back, and then come back to it with fresh eyes. Because when you get triggered like that, right, when Amy gets up in arms, what literally happens in your brain, your amygdala hijacks your prefrontal cortex, your executive functioning and thinking, and you literally can't think straight. You know, you've had that moment where you're deer in the headlights and you're like, I don't have any words right now. All my words mm-hmm. are gone. I don't know what to say or what to do. That's when Amy has hijacked your brain. And it can take a few seconds to several hours or a few days for you to come back to that executive functioning in your brain around that particular topic, right? So mm-hmm. learning how to pause and respond versus that knee-jerk reaction is very, very tricky and very valuable. Yeah. Trust me, friends. Trust me. This one. I know way too much from experience.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I remember early on, these are like early on in the email days, but I remember sending out an email. It was just like, I looked at it afterwards and I was just like, why did I send that? Like, that was just not the thing to say.
Bad idea. Really bad idea.
I got my facts wrong. I got, you know, I was annoyed. Like, this is not cool. Like, if I received this email, I would not like it. And I would think, this guy's a jerk. You know, like, I sort of try to put myself through that framework, especially in email, because you have the yes. time.
Right? Absolutely. Like, it's, and, like, and take that's the such time. A great, that's such a great point, too, is write the email. Walk away from it and then mm-hmm. come back and read it as if you were reading it through the eyes of the person you're sending it to.
Yeah.
Right? How were they going to receive it? Because oftentimes our intention is not what's received because of the filters and the lenses that that person is viewing it through. Right? So another way to say this is, Every time your dignity gets violated, where someone says something or does something to you and you feel disrespected, you feel like your value and worth has been diminished in some way, that creates a barrier to connection. It creates a barrier to seeing things clearly. Mm-hmm. And every time that happens, there's another barrier and another layer and another barrier yeah. and another layer. And so this happens to everybody. So what you're writing, what you're saying has to make it through all of those barriers, all of those lenses to reach the person on the other side in the way that you intended it. So right. being mindful of your impact with your words and your actions and your energy is super important.
Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, when you're responding to an email like that, where you're kind of, you know, getting into words with somebody and you're doing it that way. And we'll just go the email route instead of the in-person communication. It's a whole different thing. You got different reactions. You got facial, you know, right. with email, you don't have those extra additional things there that you're picking up on, those extra signals of like, you know, oh, the guy's saying this, but he's smiling, you know, like you don't know, like you don't know the tone of email. So it's, I think it's a good one to talk about. So when you're doing that, and you're upset and you know, you're in the fight mode. Well, you got to realize that on the other end of that, that person's in fight mode as well, or could be in flight mode, or could be in freeze or whatever. So it's really, it's Amy versus Amy in this, yes. Which by the way, great, great title for a book. If you want to use that, go for it. But
Amy versus Amy. All right. I'm writing that down. That's a good one.
It's Amy versus Amy there. And it's like, you've got to get past not only the barriers that you're talking about on your side, but the barriers on their side to actually truly understand that. One technique that I did, and I don't know if this is a good technique or not, but when, you know, because here's the thing, like, and I've said this a ton of times over on the business podcast, and it's that nobody trains you to be a leader, right? Nobody trains you to be a manager. You're just kind of put in that role and like, just go for it.
Dropped into the deep end of the pool, swim.
Exactly. Swim.
Where are my floaties? Where are my floaties?
And you think that managers have training on that stuff. You think that they know what they're doing, but they don't. You know, they're figuring it out just as much as, yep, as you are. Right. But you know, one of the things that I realized was like, something that I did early was I would get somebody that was really upset and they send me this upset email. It's either a client, you know, or it's a coworker. And I got into this technique of, you know, I think that you're saying this, right? And saying like, I'm trying to like, I basically turned into a translator of like, this is what I think you're saying. If that's what you're saying, then here's what I mean. If I'm wrong though, let me know. And yes, it's like a really like a smooth way of trying to mediate the situation so that you're actually getting on the same page with them, because what you're reading in that email may not be what they're actually feeling. And you're going to go and respond in a totally different way. And, you know, they're in flight, but you're treating it like fight, or they're in freeze and you're, you know, exactly. you're not in sync at all. And if you can kind of repeat like, you know, those words back to them saying like, I think this is what, you know, I'm understanding this is, I don't know if that's true or not. You're giving them the opportunity to actually further explain what they're talking about. And that's also great in person, you know?
Like, absolutely. Well, you're giving them an out. You're giving them, because they might have fired it off angrily, right? And then was like, oh, why did I write that? So by you taking the emotionally intelligent pause, right? And being curious, gosh, Russ, thank you for your concern and sharing that with me. What I think I'm hearing you say is that really, am I understanding you correctly? And it gives people a way to kind of, you know, backpedal or reframe or be like, oh, mm-hmm, hell yeah, that's what I meant, right? And then you can address appropriately. But it helps create a little bit of pause in the situation, whether it's verbally in person or over email, so that if someone's amygdala has been hijacked, their brain has been hijacked by their amygdala, let me put it that way, there's a little bit more time for the blood literally to come back to your executive functioning in your brain and mm-hmm, make more sound decisions and choices.
Right. And, you know, I think, you know, looking at things like that with like you were saying, with curiosity, like it does really help, you know, like,
yes,
and it helps not just you learning that other person, but also kind of internally, like learning about yourself of like, oh, well, you know, if I was in that situation, like I would probably have done the same thing, but maybe I shouldn't do that. It's like, you can learn on both sides with that curiosity. Okay. So, unfortunately, this is the podcast that I've been looking forward to for like, you know, like I said, since I started this, like with, you know, 3 years ago, whatever it is. And unfortunately my podcast is like 45 minutes or so. So we're going to like, I love that we've touched on these various things. I feel like I could talk about this. Like we could make an entire podcast about this, but you know, we're hitting up against the wall here. What I always like to do though is, like, let's give some people like that are listening, that are going through this, let's give them some like something for their toolkit today that they can utilize. Like, and I know we talked about a bunch of things, so you know, this could be a recap or this could be something new, but I do want to like give somebody like something that they can take away from the show that they can do like right now to make a change if they're dealing with imposter syndrome?
Sure. Well, there's a couple things. First and foremost, you can always go to my website at michellemolitor.com and take the self-doubt quiz. You know, what's your confidence quotient? And learn what self-doubt triggers are getting in your way. There's five self-doubt archetypes that might be slowing your roll and lowering your confidence. And, you know, from that perspective, understanding is power. And so when you start to understand what's getting you triggered, then you can take the steps necessary to dial down those triggers or eliminate them altogether. You know, in my work as a coach and hypnotherapist, that's what I do. I help people neutralize those emotional triggers in their nervous system and then put new empowering habits, goals, and strategies into place, both internally in their mind and externally in their habits and structures for success in life. So I'm always happy to have a discovery call with folks to see where they're getting stuck and what's going to help them get unstuck. And notice the conversation you're having with yourself, right? What's the internal dialogue that you're having, and seeing if that dialogue is lifting you up or pulling you down. Because if it's pulling you down, then tell yourself a better story.
Really? Right. Yeah.
Just tell yourself a better story. Find the one that feels better, that feels good, that can move you forward in a good way. So you can have more of what you do want in your life and less of what you don't want.
I like that the advice there is to really start with that self-assessment. You know, I think that's great that you have that on your website. I mean, I think that like just looking inward and seeing and understanding yourself is always like the best step to these things. And it's funny. It's like, if I look back at the advice from all the very, like, that's always there, you know, like whether it's the business show or heck, I produce a pickleball podcast. That advice comes out there too. You know, like understand yourself and how you're hitting the ball. Like it always starts with that. So it's great that
that's you the always got to start with yourself, and you can tweak the knobs and dials from there, which then amplifies externally to you and your actions and your behaviors and your success.
All right. So you've got books, you've got the classes, you've got the group. That's all available on your website, michellemolitor.com.
Yes, absolutely. I have my monthly membership, How to Become Unshakable, and I do work one-to-one with folks. I even do work over in the corporate world as well. So
that's awesome. Well, I got to get you over on our business podcast as well. So we'll be talking with you again soon, hopefully. Michelle, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me today and helping us learn more about imposter syndrome.
My sincere pleasure. Thanks. Take care.
And thank you for listening and subscribing to Learning More. We encourage you and thank you for rating the podcast and sharing it with your friends. As with any podcast that gives medical or legal opinion, the information is not meant to substitute professional advice. And I encourage you to consult a professional to discuss your exact needs. I've got so many shows coming up here on Learning More and so many cool topics that I'm excited to talk about. Like I'm making this season like the stuff that I really have been wanting to talk about for a long time. So it's going to be great. And I was so happy to talk about this today with Michelle. And just wait, next week, another exciting show. If you want to see what it is, well, you know what? Head over to the website, learningmorepodcast.com. Give you a preview of the future shows and stuff like that. If you've got something that you would like to learn more about, well, guess what? I can build an entire episode around it. Just let me know. There's also a contact form over there at learningmorepodcast.com where you can make a suggestion for a future episode. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'm Russ, and I look forward to learning more with you next time.